Welcome to my Soul Series. Soul Series is part of Oprah and Friends, exclusively on XM Radio Channel 156. And you can listen to the entire Soul Series collection on xmradio.com/Oprah. It's uplifting, enlightening, truly powerful. Welcome to Soul Series. Hi, everybody. We're back here on the Soul Series, where I'm talking to Ainsley MacLeod about his book called The Instruction, Living the Life Your Soul Intended. And I was telling you all how I had read this book, found it pretty interesting, but also thought, who is this guy? I called up my producer and said, see if you can get this guy for the show, because who is this guy? Who does this guy think he is telling us about the different levels and that they're 10? And how does he know they're only 10? And who died and left him the expert? He actually had an answer for that. His spirit guides did. So you can believe it or not believe it. I'm not here to tell you what to believe. I think it's kind of fascinating. I found it pretty fascinating for myself when I read the book, certain aspects of the book in terms of determining my soul's age, because I do believe that we come until we can get it all figured out. I had thought, however, that I was kind of done. Because when you're done with the last level, do you go to another plane and you don't have to come back?
At the very end?
Yeah.
End of level 10? Yeah.
Yeah. I was hoping to be a level 10.
I meet a lot of people who hope they will be.
Yeah, the competitor in me would want to be a level 10, but we were reviewing the different stages of the soul and the different ages of the soul. The younger souls who are here are, when you're at a level 1, as we said, you want to lead a more simplistic life and really kind of almost afraid
of being
brought
in. Yeah, it's like you're gradually getting used to being here and moving into the bigger world.
And level 2?
Again, the same thing.
Are less afraid of the world than they were in their first few lifetimes. Still, they prefer not to take any chances. They protect themselves with things like AK-47s, draconian laws, and vengeful gods.
Right.
They see the world in terms of black and white, them and us, and good and evil. Their fundamentalism and obedience to authority helps them avoid facing what might be uncomfortable questions. Being relatively new to the world makes these inexperienced souls easily taken advantage of. In the past, carpetbaggers would prey on them. These days, they end up being suckered by politicians who ship their jobs overseas while promising to keep them safe from terrorism, immigrants, gays, and other distractions and scapegoats. That's what you write in the instruction.
Yeah.
By deliberately disconnecting themselves from the mainstream, level 2 souls can get used to being on the physical plane without fear of running into the kind of opposing views that might threaten their rigid beliefs. So level 2s and level 1s are pretty rigid in their thinking.
In that level 1, 2, 3, there's a lot of rigidity, and then it starts to become a little more flexible. And, you know, I talk about seeing things in black and white, and older souls tend to see things in shades of gray.
Mm-hmm.
Aware of the complexity of life just through experience.
That's why I was so shocked that Mother Teresa was a level...
A level 3, I believe.
Level 3.
Yeah.
Okay. Mother Teresa, who we think of as Mother Teresa, altruistic, sacrificing herself, giving up everything for everybody else. I would think of that, had I not read this book, as being what a level 10 would be.
Right.
Why did you think...
Well, she was doing it for certain reasons.
Why do you say she's level 3, though?
I'm
going to go where level 3 is. Level 3. Belonging.
Well, it was if you think of the very strong religious aspect to her, that's part of it. You know, and I made that point, as I think I mentioned before, to show that younger souls, there's not a good and bad between old and young souls. It's like you can change the world and do wonderful things.
You say level 3 souls tend to act emotionally rather than rationally. They'll buy a truck because they believe it's the heartbeat of America. It doesn't matter that it's actually made in Canada or Mexico. These souls want to belong, which is their advantage, whether it's as part of the family or the nation. They create strong families, which they glue together with firm religious beliefs and strict moral codes.
Right.
Yeah. Their real need is to fit into their community, and as they do this, they often slip into the risk, which is conformity. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
It helps to understand why, you know, why people act in certain ways and why even whole parts of the world or different countries are the way they are.
It's
because certain soul ages will congregate together. You know, the for comfort and for the lessons right. they're going
to
learn.
Guys who like to carry AK-47s want to be around other guys.
That's
carry
there you go.
AK-47s. Can you change your soul's level while you're here? Suppose you're this, you know, rigid, restricted, conformist who has an awakening.
Yeah, absolutely. You're making progress all the time, mm-hmm. but the actual shift from one level to another happens once you get to the astral plane.
Oh, really?
It's like you have to review and completely take in what's happened to you in that life, and then it's like ka-ching, up you go.
So you don't get to level. Really graduate until
you graduate once you leave this plane. But there's growth all the way up.
Growth all the way up.
Throughout your life, yeah.
And how you know this?
My spirit guides tell me.
Spirit guides. Okay. Yeah. So in the book, the instruction, Living the Life Your Soul Intended, as I've been saying, everybody has the opportunity to go through and figure out what soul level you are, what soul type you are.
What missions your soul's on. Mm-hmm. You can look at challenges, issues from this life.
Okay.
Past life fears.
Okay. You checked in with your spirit guides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your soul age.
Soul age.
You're a level 9.
Level 9.
Okay. You got that?
That's exactly what I got.
Okay, good.
Okay.
You're actually, the interesting thing is that you're on your very last life as a level 9 soul. You're graduating after
I
this one.
I always thought I was.
There you go.
I always thought I was. I mean,
well, the reason you
if
know
if you were to
a
interview my
stuff.
Friends right now, they would tell you that I always said, you know, I'm here to get my wings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the last one at level 9. You're onto level 10, and it's like a complete shift. And this is like an extraordinary swan song, if you like, for level 9.
Man.
You know, you're doing all this amazing stuff in your life.
Level 9. Go ahead. Let me get to tell everybody what level 9 is here, then. I'm going to read from what level 9 is.
Spirituality, helping others. That's a big part of it.
Mm-hmm. Shall I read to you what the level 9 soul is?
Please.
Level 9 soul's advantage of being here on this plane is self-improvement, and their risk is being preoccupation. Level 9 is a time to work on personal issues, confronting phobias, overcoming addictions, hello, my thighs, and correcting flaws. What am I doing every day? Whether they know it or not, these senior citizen souls. It's the only time I didn't mind being called a senior citizen. Mm-hmm. I don't even like being called middle age, but I'll take it in the soul level. Senior citizen souls are all working on issues from past lives. With so much grief and heartache behind them, I like the word behind, many will spend a lifetime in therapy or finding ways to understand their emotional side. The Oprah Winfrey Show. Hello.
There you go.
Okay. All the illusion loses its grip. Spirituality gains immense importance now that they're nearing level 10, and with it, their last few lifetimes on the physical plane. Level 9 souls develop a greater than ever consciousness that we're all connected to each other. Yes, don't I know that? They seek out faiths in which they feel comfortable rather than the church they grew up in. Hello. Buddhism and contemplative practices, meditation, allow them to connect to the universe in a profound way. Then there's spiritual exploration and all that other stuff. Okay?
Right.
I agree with that.
Sounds like you.
That's me. Okay? That's me. And then what did you think was my soul?
Your soul type?
My soul type.
Your soul type. You are a spiritualist type.
Spiritualist?
Mm-hmm.
I did not get that,
okay.
But go ahead.
And you have the primary influence of a performer.
Really? I didn't get that either.
Ah, and the secondary influence of a thinker.
Who told you this? Your spirit guide?
Yes.
Okay. They said what? I was level 9,
you are,
I agree with.
Okay. Spiritualist. Now, what a spiritualist type is about helping others. That's a very, very big part of it.
Okay.
A belief that there's a world beyond this.
Okay.
And that's a big marker, if you like.
Okay. I did not get that. What else?
Okay. The performer influence is what helps to push you out into the world.
Uh-huh.
Now, a spiritualist wants to inspire others and help others to become complete. And the performer will help you to do that in a more demonstrative way. It'll also give you a comfort with the spotlight.
Well, I'm gonna look at that again.
You'll actually enjoy the attention.
I did not think that. Mm-hmm. You know what I thought? If I might disagree with, I'm talking with a self-professed reluctant psychic.
There you go, yeah.
Ainsley MacLeod, about his book, The Instruction. And he's telling me what his spirit guides say was my calling here, mm-hmm. really, and purpose. I agree that I'm level 9. What I thought I was, though, was educator, leader.
Okay.
Educator, leader, with leader being the second one and educator being the first.
Right.
I did not think spiritualist performer.
You have a talent for education.
Yes.
And that's where the desire to impart knowledge comes from. Not a lot of spiritualists.
But it would make sense that I would be spiritualist because the focus is improvement.
Yeah.
And the traits are compassion and spirituality. That would make sense. And also performer, the focus is communication. So I can understand why the spirit guide. I will not argue with the spirit guides about that.
Right.
I'm not a leader. Never mind.
You wouldn't have the same spiritual interest if you were a leader. You'd be much more, you know, feet firmly planted on the ground. You tend to have more, a bigger barrier to really connecting with the other side. Because one of your talents, you have two really important talents, as well as, I know we're going forward a little bit here.
Go ahead.
But as well as having a talent for education, you have a talent for intuition, which makes you psychic, and you have a talent for empathy.
Yes.
Which gives you the ability to pick up on nonverbal emotional signals.
That is true. I'm still stuck on I'm not an educator. I'm not an educator leader?
No, if you were an educator leader, you would look so different. Because one of the things about educators is that they tend not to have the same forward momentum. With you, because you've got thinker influence, secondary thinker influence. You have the desire to move forward, to continually learn and advance.
And educators don't have that?
Educators can be happier just teaching the same syllabus every year, that kind of thing. Where they
really?
Yeah, whereas you would never have that.
No,
everything about you is about forward movement and growth and learning.
Correct.
So you're learning and you're imparting knowledge as you go along, and that's coming from the talent.
Okay, so tell me again. I am level 9.
Level 9 spiritualist, and they go hand in hand. As far as, you know, at least I see level 9 spiritualists all the time, because the two are very similar.
Okay, level 9 spiritualist.
Spiritual too. So with
the secondary.
Primary performer influence.
Yeah.
Which gives you.
That would make sense.
The communication skills, and you also have a talent for communication. And
a little bit.
I think so. Yeah. And you have a thinker influence, which gives you that rational part of you. The skeptical part, and it also gives you a love of reading. I would imagine you read a lot of books.
Yeah, kind of do. And so how can I be so off about myself then?
Well, did you do the exercise with your spirit guides?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't do that part because I just went, okay, I didn't do that part. I didn't ask my spirit guides to help me. What I did was I said, I'm going to figure this out myself. I'm going to figure out this out myself. I can read.
The thinker in you says, yeah, I don't need my guides for this.
Yeah.
But it's kind of different if you actually get, you know, because you are open to their influence.
Mm-hmm.
You're highly intuitive. You've got the psychic thing going and you've got the empathy, which really enhances that. And also, most people I see who are psychic, who are highly intuitive, are spiritualist types with an influence like a performer or creator. Something that will help to a combination that's very kind of otherworldly, if you like.
Now, how does this, first of all, I thought I was an educator and I'm not. But how does this knowing what your soul's age is, what your purpose and calling is supposed to be, what your type is, what your mission is, how does that help you in your life?
Well, the most important thing is that it gives you self-acceptance. It helps you to really understand who you are because you brought this into the world. This is all by choice. Your soul chose to be this person with the missions that you're on. There's nothing you can do about your soul age. You just are that age. But you chose your soul type and your influences, and you chose so much else about who you are. You also chose the talents to be available to you. All talents come from past lives because you had an ability in a past life.
Mm-hmm.
You can access it in this. It's like reaching in and pulling it out.
So communication would be a talent or a gift?
It's a talent.
Okay.
So you've had some communication abilities in the past.
Are most soul, if you're on a, you said this either in this show or the last show, that, we said this in this show, that soul ages attract the same soul ages. So you most likely are not going to be, if you are a level 9 soul age, you can't live very well with a soul, with a somebody who's level one.
What I find, you know, I'll meet somebody who's at level 9 or 10, and they've got a level 4 or 5 spouse. And what I find is that they, you know, they can get on fine, but there tends not to be the same opportunity for intimacy, if you like.
Well, let me just look at level 10, where I would be going in the next lifetime, then. I guess I got to come back and do 10. You have to do 10.
Well, you have to complete the experience.
You can't skip. You know, I skipped the second grade. Maybe I could skip level 10, because actually I was looking at level 10 and it felt a little boring to me at times, you know? So some things about level 10 feel a little boring. At level 10, the soul is ready for retirement. I went, huh. Conventional ideas of success become meaningless. Materialism becomes less important than ever. That means you got to give up your shoes. Okay.
No. I actually... I thought,
you mean I got to give up all my shoes? That Bentley Tyler Perry just gave me? You know, I'm going to have to give up all those nice little things.
Maybe the shoes won't seem quite so important.
No, I know. I'm only making a joke, people. Yeah. I do that. But I love this line. Who cares about making money if you've got to be part of the rat race to do it? That's where the level 10s are.
Yeah.
There's a slightly lower level of self-absorption. Now that the intense healing work of level 9 is behind them, most live quiet lives doing work they love in the hope it will contribute to society. Well, I knew I wasn't a level 10 because I do not live a quiet life.
You certainly don't.
Yeah. They can be highly talented but lacking in drive or ambition.
Yeah.
I knew I didn't fit into that category. Those around them may feel that they never quite reach their potential. The risk at this level is passivity. These easygoing, knew that couldn't be me, easygoing souls have many lifetimes of achievement behind them and often develop a sense of having been there and done it all before.
Mm.
Yeah. See, that seemed a little boring to me, level 10. But I'm willing to come back.
Well, it's kind of like you're kind of reviewing things and you may be working on some karmic issues with people around you. Yeah.
Willing to come back and live that nice life. So after level 10, what happens?
Well, then you head out of here for the last time.
Wow.
You don't have to come back.
I'm now going into the types, because you get to not only figure out what level you are, but you also get to figure out what type. And I'm looking at the spiritualist type, which I'm going to review after this show. Spiritualist type are some of the most compassionate people you could meet. They tend to have an air of otherworldliness about them. I don't think I have that. Like creator types, they found themselves with one foot in this world and one in the soul world. Do feel that sometimes. Okay, as younger souls, they're drawn to the priesthood. That wouldn't be me. Once they get to be old souls, they become less religious and more spiritual.
Right.
Yeah, okay. So after level 10, where do I go?
You would then head off to the astral plane and not return.
Is that where the angels are?
That's where spirit guides are.
You don't call them angels?
Well, they don't use the term. They just asked me to use the term spirit guide, so that's what I use.
And then do you become somebody's spirit guide?
Yeah. You'll actually work as a spirit guide and then move on to other levels where you still work as guides.
Are spirit guides sometimes called angels? Do they know that they're called angels?
Oh, it's just whatever word you want to use.
Okay, but they don't call themselves angels.
It's just they chose that term.
Yeah, with you.
Yeah.
Okay. When you then move up to angel status, do you get to choose who you want to be an angel to?
I presume the choice is made between that spirit guide and that person's soul.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes you'll get, like I did, a relative on the other side. And a lot of my clients have relatives who are, you know, mother or grandmother or grandfather who are looking after them, keeping an eye out. And
do most people have that? You said in our last show that everybody has...
Everybody has spirit guides, but not necessarily somebody they knew.
Not necessarily somebody they knew. No. Do some people have more than others?
Yeah, it's flexible.
How many do you have? Do you know them?
I've never actually checked. I have ones that I can bring in if I do, you know, if I got a tricky session that's about something I don't know about, I can bring in spirit guides who have expert knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty flexible over there. In fact, I let them sort
over
it
there.
Out. Oh, the other side. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I let them sort out what I need.
Over there. But is over there also right here?
Yeah. You know, it's here and there. It's very hard to describe.
Does this seem all weird to you? I mean, you know how crazy this sounds, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Just so you know, we're sounding crazy to people right now.
You know, I said to a group of people last night, you know.
Sounding real nuts.
I said to these people, you know, Who here thinks talking to invisible entities on other planes is really bizarre? And nobody put their hand up. I said, oh, just me then.
Really?
Yeah.
Because people have I'm still kind of,
I'm new to this. I mean, I really got into this about 10 years ago, and I came from a place of a total skeptic and non-believer.
You didn't even believe in God, and now you believe in spirit guides.
You know, a total 180-degree flip.
Do you now believe in God?
I believe in a higher consciousness. I mean, I throughout the book, I don't use the term God just because it's very loaded and it has so many specific meanings for so many people. And my spirit guides don't use that, but certainly they talk about higher levels of consciousness, sure.
So your spirit guides don't use the term God. I'm talking to Ainsley MacLeod, author of The Instruction, Living the Life Your Soul Intended, where you get to go through the book and figure out for yourself what level, what age, what type, what your mission is. Are you living the life now your soul intended?
Yeah, totally. This is what my soul was urging me to do, what my spirit guides were getting me to do.
What soul age are you?
Level 10. But of course, I can say whatever I like, can't I?
Yeah, I say, of course you are. Of course you're level 10. And what type?
Well, I used to not tell people because I didn't want to, you know, because of course it sounds like I could, you know, tell them anything. But I'm a creator type.
Uh-huh.
I have a primary thinker influence and a secondary spiritualist influence.
Okay.
And it's where you get the creator and the spiritualist.
And what makes you a 10? What characteristics do you think are...
Well, the lack of drive has been part of it.
Lack of drive?
Yeah, I can keep it up for a while, you know, get enthusiastic, then, you know, get that feeling of being there and done it all. And, you know, then that wears off. So, and it's fortunate I'm doing something that I am really passionate about because that does help me to, you know, get up in the mornings and actually have
the
energy.
So the life your soul intended was what?
The life my soul intended was not just what I'm doing now, but it was actually what I was doing before. I used to be an illustrator, and that was part of the experience, although I held on to it for a little too long. And then now I'm here. We didn't talk about missions. Mm-hmm. I was going to talk about your
mission. Yes, please do talk about missions.
And we actually share a mission, and that is a mission of change.
Mm-hmm.
Did you spot that one?
Yes, I did get that, yes.
Yeah, and you're here to change the world. You're here to make it a better place. And that's something about a level 9 spiritualist, that you want the world to be a better place. You see the flaws, you see what's wrong, and you want to go out and do something about it.
Okay, yeah. So once you know what your soul's mission is, or you can more clearly define it from the instruction, it's there to help you become more on course with
yourself? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you understand, you know, if you have questions about, you know, am I on the right path? Is this the right job for me? Is this the right person for me? The more you understand about who you are and why you're here and where you're going, then, you know, the easier it becomes.
Do you get off track? Do you personally get off track? Yeah, from the life your soul intended.
Not so much, no. Mm-hmm. I mean, my life was totally off track when I was younger. When I was in my 20s and 30s, I was like a pinball bouncing from one disaster to the next. And I was just, everything was off track.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually through doing this work and understanding why I was making the mistakes and who I, you know, where I was going wrong. You know, so I've actually walked the talk. I mean, I've really used this stuff to enhance my life. And so, you know, right now I'm pretty much on track. You know, we all have destinies. We all have things we have to achieve. I talk about setting goals and figuring out where you're going in the book. And, you know, once you've got a clear idea of where you're going ahead, then you can figure out which steps.
Okay, what if you're not living the life your soul intended? Is that why your soul has to keep coming back? Because you're not doing what the soul intended?
Well, you probably get through it all a lot faster if you in every lifetime you were clear about just where you're going. The biggest secret to all this is really having some tranquility in your life so you can actually hear the direction. You know, we talked a lot about spirit guides, but really listening to your soul, listening to your soul's direction.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have some peace and quiet in your life. And, you know, we live lives that are, you know, noisy as heck, you know.
Do you believe, or your spirit guides believe, that our lives are preordained?
There's a rough outline. We have a life plan, and these elements that we talk about in the instruction, stuff that we've been talking about, these are all parts of your life plan. So you have like a rough blueprint, But within that, there's a lot of flexibility.
Meaning you have a lot of choice.
Meaning you have free will.
Yeah, you have free will.
But if you're exercising free will and you're also listening to your soul's guidance, then you're going to be following the course that you're meant to be
on. But did you say something? Something you just said is very disturbing. That when, if you're listening, you get through it a lot sooner. So if you're paying attention to what your soul wants.
That's theoretically. But since most people are not fully doing that, you still have to pick up the experiences.
But I'm just saying, so say those of us who are paying attention, you're trying to pay attention to what your soul wants. That means you're through with life sooner than those who don't. If you're more hard-headed, you get to stay longer.
No, theoretically you would. But it's still all about experience. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it probably helps to get the... It'll speed things up maybe a little if you're...
Paying attention.
If you're paying attention, if you really know where you're going. But it takes a long time and a lot of experience to be able to really do that. Experience and sense of being here time and time again. It becomes easier for older souls, but especially at level 9.
What do your spirit guides say about this whole human experience? Because, I'm thinking, why not just hang out on the astral plane or the causal plane? Why even come here at all?
Because there's no growth. Like, say you wanted to learn everything there is to know about ceramics, and you read every book, and you watched every video, and you watched master potters at work. It would still be no substitute for actually throwing a pot, you know, rolling up your sleeves and getting your hands dirty. Mm-hmm. And that's why your soul has to come here to do it. It can only observe from other planes. So it's actually got to come here and find out what it's like to be human and be in the physical plane. And that's how it grows, and that's its ambition, if you like.
Do your souls, do your spirit guides say that there are other souls, other places, other planets, other levels?
They do. Yeah. That we're not alone in the universe.
Okay.
So you want to talk about your missions?
Yeah, missions.
Okay. Well, your first mission is...
Change.
Well, it's your second one. You have a mission of connection, which is a very broad mission. Mm-hmm. And we kind of put that aside and then look for another primary mission, which is a change. But connection means that you're not meant to be alone. It's your soul's desire for intimacy with other souls. Then the change, as we talked about, this is the real desire to make the world a better place.
Right.
And in the work that I do, I've really only come across one or two people with a mission of change like that. It seems to be pretty unusual.
Really?
And so
everybody says they want to change the world.
Not to this extent.
Really?
And really not to the extent where that becomes your major purpose. You know, I see it in doctors. I was reading about Dr. Paul Farmer, who traveled the world, went to Haiti and places like that to work with people with TB. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, well, there was somebody who wanted to change the world. It became a total, total focus. And again, a level 9 spiritualist, as far as I can see. You have you have a secondary mission of examination. Mm-hmm. And the examination is about really figuring out the world, about learning about yourself. It's something that you can do from an armchair. You can watch a TV program, you read a book. In fact, you said you read a lot. That's very common. Some people have a need to go and experience things for themselves. Mm-hmm. Everything they do, if they get interested in mountain climbing, they have to climb the mountain. Mm-hmm. You might be satisfied just with watching a movie about it or reading a book.
Clearly. I actually went to the Grand Canyon on a hike with my friend Gail once and said, gee, I could have looked at a book about it and they had the same experience.
Yeah.
I really could. And at the end of the day, I thought, long hike, dusty. I don't know why I needed to do this because I literally could open a book and be there, feel it and experience it. And feel just as satisfied.
Right. And it's a good thing to recognize that because people around you will be pushing you and saying, you really got to go there and do this.
I don't feel the need.
No.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we got. You have challenges.
Yeah.
And these are from this lifetime.
Yes.
The primary one is insecurity.
I have insecurity?
It's like 2 out of 10, just a little bit of an element.
Really?
Just still there.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's not surprising from the little I know about you. I'm the only person in America who doesn't watch TV, so I've not actually seen your TV show, I'm afraid to say.
That's okay.
But there are things that I picked up about your very difficult childhood and things that you had. And having the emotional rug pulled out from underneath you can create this insecurity in adulthood.
Okay.
You also have a challenge of restlessness.
Absolutely.
The difficulty just being in the moment. You know, you're kind of looking around the next corner. What do I do next? Mm-hmm. And that I see in people who are above average intelligence, and I'm not saying that to flatter you, but often when you're younger and you have to sit in a class and the teacher's droning on it at the pace of the slower kids, you develop this boredom, and that comes out as restlessness in later life.
True.
You have desires, which are experiences that your soul and your conscious mind want to experience for your growth. And your soul will try to keep it balanced. You want to learn about status. You've got the opportunity to have great status. So your soul and your conscious mind are going, let's go for it. Your soul's saying, I can't experience this on the other side, on the astral plane. Mm-hmm. I've got to be here to do it. It's part of the physical experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really about achieving respect. But it's also about giving respect. A lot of these things are a two-way street.
Reciprocal, yeah.
And you have a desire for immortality. And what that means, it gives you the desire to do something in your life that will go beyond this, that so you'll still be changing the world when you're no longer here. That you want to make a mark, have things carry on when you're gone. Does that make sense?
For sure.
Yeah, okay, all right.
For sure.
You've got some past life fears.
I do.
You do.
What are they?
All right. Do you want to know?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay. You have an issue from a past life. You've had a couple of past lives, not recently, but kind of way back, where you didn't complete your life or life plan.
Uh-huh.
And what happens, like, if you die when you're 6 or you're 10 and you were going to do great things, or even if not, even if you're just going to do pretty mediocre things, your soul can have a sense of fear that you're not going to complete this lifetime.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that will actually, when you have the restlessness, that will impact that as well.
Yeah.
Because it's like,
and that's from a past life?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's like, it gives you a sense of urgency about making sure you do it all.
Yeah.
You have a fear of, there's not a very big one, but a fear of loss. Just a fear of loss comes when you've had a past life where you've lost everything.
Uh-huh.
Maybe your home, your family, slaughtered in a war, whatever it is. And it will give you a little underlying fear that this might not last.
Uh-huh.
You know, that it could all go like that. Can you relate to that?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I say, it's not a huge, strong one. We talked a little about your two most important talents, which are intuition.
Yeah, I'm back to the 6-year-old died in another lifetime. But because I do have that since I had said this, you obviously didn't see me on Larry King.
No.
Well, you hadn't seen the Oprah show. I didn't expect you to see me on Larry King either. It's okay. I'm going to excuse you for that. Because, listen, not everybody has to watch the Oprah show. But I was on Larry King, and I said, he was asking us about, this is when we were premiering Oprah and Friends, and I said, he was saying, do you have any fears? Do you have any fears? And I said, yeah, my greatest fear is not fulfilling the potential of this lifetime.
Yeah.
Greatest fear is not taking what I know I've been given and being able to maximize that to the greatest potential, to the greatest possibility, you know?
Yeah.
Because I don't see everybody else looks at the show as, you know, this wonderful vehicle and absolute, you know, opportunity. They see the glamour side of it.
Right, yeah.
I see it as a platform for change.
Yeah.
I see it. And do you know, I just made an announcement. I'm going to own my own network.
Yeah.
And the network is really about creating change in people's lives. And so to be able to take, to move from the show, which has been a 22-year effort, to be an instrument for change and open people's minds, to now be able to do that 24/7 on a television network is being able to take that platform and doing with it what I think was what that platform was created for in the first place. For years, I have known that the Oprah show, as popular as it has been, the number one show in the United States for 22 years, Ainsley. Haven't seen it, but 23 years.
I hear it's great.
It's really,
I hear really good things.
Okay. But I have always known that it wasn't about popularity.
Mm.
That the reason for it wasn't to make me a television star. That the reason for it was to use it as a foundation for creating something that was greater, bigger, would last beyond my lifetime.
And if you look at your soul type,
yeah,
the spiritualist, that desire to,
yeah,
to, you know, the, to help others,
yeah,
to inspire, and you look at the missions that we talk, mission of change,
yeah,
you want to change the world, make it a better place. This, you know, you're on the path,
right.
There was an observation that my spirit guides gave me about you.
Yeah.
And it said that you are the kind of walking embodiment of old soul values.
Uh-huh. What does that mean?
What it means is that you actually, just through your being, just who you are, you're expressing a lot of what are old soul values, that you value such things as truth. And that's, mm-hmm, something that came up. Truth is, they talk about walking the path of truth.
Yeah, means everything.
And
to
this
me
is huge to you, yeah. And that people will aspire to be like you. You're motivating people to be, you know, it's like being a real great role model.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take people of any soul age. I mean, you can take anybody. And you're really showing them the importance of truth, because it's such a hugely important thing to you.
Mm-hmm.
They also talked about walking the path of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, freedom is such a big thing. You know, if you have the awareness. I read about what you were doing in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're actually, by helping to give people opportunities like that, you're giving them freedom. You know, people don't have a whole lot of freedom when they're dirt poor.
Yeah, correct.
You know, it's one of the things that goes. And it's also something you want to experience in yourself. You want maximum freedom for yourself, and you're aware of the importance of that. And
what else did they say? Ainsley?
Oh, the other thing that I thought was a very nice little quote.
And how many of the soul spirit guides were talking to you? Did they all come out to have this discussion?
Yeah, we were just sitting around this morning,
good,
you know, just having a coffee and a chat. And they said that where you're going, not everyone will follow. And I didn't understand it to begin with. And what they said is that as you really start to express more of these older soul values,
mm-hmm,
you are going to lose some people.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be ready for some of the stuff that you're getting out there. And it's an encouragement to really follow your heart in these matters.
Is that what they said?
Yeah.
I wish they were going to say, everybody's going to be so excited.
They are. I mean, let's say that as well. I'm sure that it has nothing to do with how excited people are. But the point they're making is that you can get criticism as you start expressing more and more of the old soul. And somebody like you, a level 9 spiritualist, and with the experience your soul's had, you know the folly of war, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, intuitively, it's just in there that, you know, that war is obscene. It's like, you know,
right,
unnecessary. You start talking more about that, you're going to lose people.
Right.
You know, there's people who, even old souls who are just, you know, they're under the influence of, well,
what those is level
the,
ones.
Oh, the message from the media or whatever it might
yeah
be, you know.
All those level twos.
Yeah, whatever. You know, it's like some people are not going to be.
Yeah.
Some people are not going to be ready for,
yeah,
for it. And it's the kind of message is really to follow your heart on these things. You're highly intuitive, as we talked about. You know, you're psychic, and you have the empathy thing as well, which is a terrific combination as well. It really helps to connect you with the other side, and give you, because of this truth thing being so important, that you have an inbuilt BS detector.
Yeah,
you
know, I do.
You know, you must see through people very, very quickly.
Yeah, I really do.
I
don't always listen to it, pay attention to it, but I do see it.
Oh, and, you know, yeah, that the truth of it. I mean, like,
mm-hmm,
actually listening to, you know, paying attention, actually doing what you're being guided to do.
Yes.
So there's two different things.
Yes. But I do get it. I do.
Yeah.
I do get the message very clearly. Like, somebody's a jerk, or you should stay away from that person, or
yeah,
be careful, yeah, or... Yeah, and
it takes a bit of faith and experience. You know, you have to, you know, do this over and over to really learn. Gosh, you know.
So how did you, when you brought the spirit guides in to question them about me, how did that process actually work?
Okay, well, in this case, I was just sitting down in my...
Because I take it they don't watch the Oprah show either, the spirit guides.
Well, they would know, they know everything about you. I kind of picture them sitting around and, you know, enjoying that in an afternoon. But they know everything about...
Do spirit guides know everybody? Is there some kind of vibrational thing where
I can get information on anybody. Not that I can go invading somebody's privacy.
It's the Google of the spirit world.
You know, it could be, except, you know, I had to get your permission to be able to do go into this kind of depth.
When you went to ask to consult with the spirit guides, did you say, "Oh, spirit guides, please come to be with B"?
Well, I don't.
Oprah Winfrey, could you tell B about her? What? How did that work?
Well, I don't use the funny voice.
Okay.
they don't feel a need for that.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But I do. I what I do is I ask for protection. I call them in.
Protection from?
If any negative entities.
Okay. Because there are good ones and bad ones?
Well, you know, I used the example in the book. I said that, you know, your drunk Uncle Harry is on the other side. Just to say that there are people who are on the other side who are jerks, you know, and, you know, not particularly enlightened. You know, not everyone who's in spirit is spiritual. And sometimes if you... Well, you hear of people using a Ouija board, and then they get negative stuff coming through, and they get all frightened, and they're told they're going to die. And it's somebody like drunk Uncle Harry having fun on the other side. He's just, you know, it's like you wouldn't pick up a phone and dial numbers at random and hope to get really good advice. You know, you're opening up when you do this stuff.
Oh, you can call in anything, so be careful.
Yeah. So I make sure that I'm protected and really covered when I do that. And then I make sure, triple check that I'm talking to my spirit
guides. How do you know they have your best interest?
Because the information that I get has just time and time and time again, I found that I've been able to validate it. I found that it's right, and I found that it's in my highest interest. And also the messages that they pass on to people, they're loving, they're useful. They're, you know, there's a real practical side to all this. You know, people think of spirituality or kind of like, you know, airy fairy, and this stuff is really about helping people to, you know, take the next step or figure out what they need to do in a relationship and that kind of thing, or get information that will help them. In fact, what my guides do is to help people make better choices rather than tell them what to do.
Got it.
It's like rather than give somebody a fish, they'll teach them to fish. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to give people tools.
Could you talk to your guides? Because if you would talk to your guides, they would know exactly what I need right now.
Mm-hmm.
I am in need of specific help on this plane. So they would know what that is.
Oh, well, I didn't go into any details, but I'll find out.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Okay. I know and they know. Mm. So could they move that along for me? Could they put that person
on? You can do that yourself.
You can.
Yeah, really, you can work on communicating with your guides. Anything you've got like that, put it out in a request.
I will.
Ideally in a meditation. You know, I know you're busy and you have restlessness, which makes meditation very, very hard.
Yes, it does.
Yes. Sitting for 10 minutes.
Yes, I try, but it is craziness. That's when I make my to-do list during meditation, because I start out meditating, and I'm good, and I'm sitting there, and it's really good, and I'm really good, and that lasts for about 6 breaths, and then I'm like, make sure you, and then I stop, and I'll write that down.
Well,
and then I stop, and I'll write that down, and I say, okay, now we've got all that out of the way, let's go back, let's meditate. Then I get some really inspired thoughts during my supposed meditation.
Yeah, not just about shopping and
Shopping, but just like things that need clarity. I get a lot of clarity.
That's it.
Yeah, I get a lot of clarity.
You have to still the mind to get that clarity. It's like a shift in brainwaves or something, and your spirit guides can come in there, work with you, and give you that clarity.
Okay. Well, I need something specific right now.
But it also helps to make the question.
I have a network. Could you tell them I have a network to create from scratch, and I need a lot of help.
Okay.
Speak to them, will you?
I'll do my best, but like I say, you can speak to them too.
Okay.
You figure out what you need and tell them, put it out there.
Okay.
Or if you don't know what they need, they'll give you the clarity.
Oh, I know what I need. I know what I need.
Okay, keep putting it out there twice a day.
Twice a day?
Yeah.
Okay. Would it help to write it down?
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially you're the thinker influence, so you want to make notes, you want to write these things down, verbalize them, say it out loud. You know, say, I really want to surround myself with the right people or whatever it is. Whatever it is, make sure you and they know, and keep it on the front burner by saying it a couple of times
a day. But don't they already know?
Well, they're only there to, as the, like I said before, like the emergency rescue team. It's like only when you really put out the request.
Okay, well, I'm going to do it. Help!
There you go.
Help me!
You didn't hear the bit about specific questions.
I will do that.
All right.
Thank you, Ainsley.
Thank you, Oprah.
Okay. Living the life your soul intended, the instruction, Ainsley MacLeod. That was fun. I hope you enjoyed this edition of our Soul Series. These are some of my favorite conversations.
To hear more, sign up for a free 30-day XM Radio trial by going to www.xmradio.com/Oprah.